You might find this hard to believe, but, you know, politicians, the guys that we elect to do stuff, they don't always listen to what we tell them to do. Well, yeah, actually, you might believe that. Because it's actually become status quo. I'm not exactly sure why we put up with it, but we seem to. In Washington State, take it a step further. Taxing and spending got so out of control that the people had to step up through the initiative process and make it more difficult for politicians to raise taxes. So what did the politicians do? They said, screw you! And just eliminated that law. We'll talk to Tim Iman, Washington's own anti-tax initiative king. And who are the Oath Keepers? And what is so controversial about their oath? And why does Bill O'Reilly keep throwing them under the bus?
You know what? You can take your fair and balance and shove it.
My name is Jeff Williams, and it's time for a paradigm shift.
Sooner or later, you got to draw a line and stand your ground, whether anybody else does or not. That is what liberty is all about.
And now, our nation is drifting dangerously from freedom to fascism.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Those people that have a diametrically opposing point of view than yours, they will figure out the learning curve, they will mail the letters, and they will make the phone calls. They will show up in numbers, they will overwhelm you, because your butt is on the couch thinking that right about now would be a great time for somebody else to go out and fix this problem.
Great principles don't get lost once they come to light. They're right here.
There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right.
It's a, quote, conspiracy of ideas. This is an ideological battle. Some people believe in globalism. Others of us believe in national sovereignty.
How long is it going to be before you finally resist and say no? I will not comply.
Back on the set and covering all bets, welcome everybody. This is Paradigm Shift number 3. My name is Jeff Williams. Thanks so much for joining us, downloading us via iTunes or the RSS aggregator of your choice, and doing everything we can to stop our great nation from turning into the communist police state where it is currently headed. You can reach us a lot of different ways, via email, me at commonsensejeff.com, via the web, commonsensejeff.com, and if you got Skype, you can also hit us, commonsensejeff. Notice the theme here. Yeah, it's kind of creepy, but it's just how we roll. If all you have is a phone and you like it that way, 509-850-3355, 509-850-3355. We've got a huge show today, so let's get right into it. Joining me now is someone who is well known in the state in which I reside, Washington State. His name is Tim Iman. He's a great guy, and here's a little bit of background information on Tim.
From debut film director Paul Frazier comes the amazing story about Washington's own Schwarzenegger, Tim Iman.
There was a time he got smashed in the face with a cherry pie in Olympia. Some people clearly don't like Tim Iman.
An all-time exclusive DVD, your front row seat with one of the most controversial political figures of our time.
If the press wants to beat up on us, that's their right.
This is where it all started.
Olympia is gorging itself. Priorities of government was replaced with pig out on government.
This is the message sent.
If you're going to impose taxes, do it honestly, do it accurately, and don't try and artificially inflate it.
The opponent.
He's got money, fame, and power out of this without any responsibility.
It begins with the initials DS.
The battles.
Can't control what people think. The only thing you can do is decide what stories make it on the papers and which stories don't.
Featuring Michael Medved, Dory Monson, BJ Shea.
You are swimming upstream more than you can ever possibly imagine.
These are the first-hand accounts as you've never seen them before. This exclusive DVD contains never-before-seen footage, plus rare appearances.
There are people split almost right down the middle who hate him and who love him.
He's outrageous. He's unstoppable. He's Tim Iman, and he's fighting for you.
Where is the fat in the budget?
I say everywhere.
The Battles of Tim Island, a film by Paul Frazier. Coming soon to DVD.
Schwarzenegger of Washington. Well, of course, that's not really a compliment anymore, Tim, but you described yourself as a one-trick initiative pony, and someone asked you what the founders would have said about our current system of government, and you responded with a one-word answer. Do you remember what that is?
No idea.
You said, yikes. And that's where we can start today. So, Tim, how are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Thanks for having me on. It should be a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So, you in Washington State, you've got this huge reputation because every time we turn around, you've got some kind of new anti-tax initiative. You know, it's unfortunate, don't you think, that our politicians just can't, I don't know, constrain themselves just a touch and put you out of a job?
Oh, absolutely. We said that at the beginning of this year. We said we're doing an initiative that's going to reinstate an initiative that you're thinking of getting rid of. Put us out of business. You know, kill our signature drive. Do the right thing and respect the will of the people and don't do it. Yet with that much, you know, forewarning and that much prediction of what's going to happen if they do it, they did it anyway. So they do seem to have an insatiable appetite when it comes to taking more out of the people's money.
So right now we're dealing with initiative I-960, correct? I mean, this is not the initiative that's on the table, but this was passed in 2007, and what did I-960 achieve?
It just made it tougher for them to raise taxes. It required them to have to follow the law, abide by the Constitution, and keep the people informed on what they were doing when it came to raising taxes and increasing fees. And it did exactly what the voters wanted. For the last 2 years, they couldn't raise taxes, or they didn't raise taxes. And so for 2 years, it clearly worked. It worked so well that they voted to get rid of it this year because it was obviously working extraordinarily well. And so our new initiative just brings it back. But, it's kind of an amazing thing that for 2 years they managed to be forced to follow the law and abide by the Constitution, and apparently that's 2 years longer than they'd prefer.
You know, I've always been amazed when one of these initiatives of yours passes. The politicians, you know, it's the sky is falling, the world is going to come to an end, and it never does, and you usually are successful. But the key is they never go and cut spending.
Exactly right.
You know, we're sending them a message through this process where it's, you know, stop spending, stop. If you don't stop spending, we are going to do something. We're going to and then we do something and they just continue. They just don't stop.
It's really striking. I mean, like, for example, we did an initiative a couple years ago called Initiative 900, which empowered our state auditor to hire outside experts to do performance audits on state and local governments and find ways to spend money more effectively, not necessarily by slashing spending or reducing the size of government, but just reforming government and having it work more effectively. And Brian Sontag, a Democrat, well-respected, has been elected time and time again, has identified $3.5 billion worth of potential savings. But what did the Democrats do with his suggestions? Instead of implementing them, last year they cut his funding in half. So apparently he was producing so many good ideas, and they were choosing not to implement them. They got so tired of all the suggestions, they said, you know what, stop giving us so many ideas. It's embarrassing that we're ignoring you all the time.
There are now initiatives on the books that are being forwarded by mostly Democrats, and really you can go through the list. I'm not going to bother doing it now, but they're just really designed to put you out of business. Scary.
Oh, for sure. So many anti-initiative bills that just make the process so much more difficult. I mean, we have to get 300,000 signatures in about 5 months. That works out to be about 2,000 signatures a day. I mean, it's an extremely challenging, difficult process, and yet they're basically saying, well, one or two initiatives qualify every year. Apparently, that's one or two too many. We need to make the process even more difficult and make it even more challenging. But, you know, no one's paying $30 for their car tabs. They found ways to get around our 1% cap on property tax increases. They just eliminated 960. And I think the biggest battle we have with our own supporters is, well, what's the use? Why do we even try? And the reality is, you know, over the last 10 years, our initiatives have saved the taxpayers over $13 billion so far. Now, I'm not saying that it was an easy battle or an easy fight every single year, but it's clear that we're a whole lot better off fighting back than it is to just throw up our hands and say, well, you just can't beat City Hall.
No, but it does. I mean, it is like pounding your head against a cement wall. It does sap it out of you, doesn't it?
Well, not me, but, you know, normal human beings, yeah, but I'm a freak of nature. But normal human beings, it's true. But no, I mean, I've really recognized the glacier pace of government and realized that we are making extraordinary strides. I mean, when you just look at one issue, some of our supporters are glasses half empty kind of people, and they say, well, geez, I'm paying $70 for my car taps. We voted multiple times for $30. This is just outrageous. And I'm like, yeah, but you used to pay $700 or $800 per year for your car tap fees. Now it's $70. It's crappy that we're not getting our $30 tabs, but my God, would we have been better off eating potato chips over the last 10 years watching the boob tube, or were we better off actually fighting back and giving people the largest tax cut in Washington State history by promoting those initiatives? I'm a glasses half full kind of guy.
Well, here's a loaded question for you, and if you choose not to answer, I understand, but your opponents, especially the ones that are going after you, just looking to shut you down in any way, shape, or form that they can, they really don't see themselves as the fascists that they are, do they?
Oh, absolutely not. It's very much an end justifies the means kind of thing. It's that they're not thinking about any kind of principle or whether or not they're squelching free speech or the First Amendment. They don't view it that way. They just view anybody with a different opinion than theirs or a different, you know, mindset or philosophy of government different than them can't be wrong. They have to be evil. And the squelching of evil is totally justified. And so therefore, you know, let's cut up the Constitution. Let's slice up the First Amendment. It makes no difference to them if they're fighting what they perceive as an inherent evil. And when you think about it, what's our evil? We're putting ideas and policies on the ballot for the voters to vote on. That is so anathema.
Imagine that. Government by the people. That is just screwed
up,
imagine? Man.
And you keep putting ideas on there that voters like.
I know.
Will you knock it off? I mean,
I know.
You need to show courage.
Yeah.
You need to implement policies that nobody's in favor of. That's really the only way you can find out whether or not somebody has courage or not, is if you implement a policy that everyone opposes. That is heroic. That's healthcare at the national level.
You're just a malcontent troublemaker, Tim. That's all you are, really. Well, that leads me perfectly into this. This is a clip from the number one lawmaker in Washington State, formerly the Attorney General, so she should understand how it all works.
Mm-hmm.
When you were coming to Olympia with your most recent initiative proposal, this is what she had to say.
If we want to be in the absolute terrible position that California is in, we can keep Tim Iman's initiatives going. If you talk to the leadership down in California, they will tell you that that's what's happened to them. They have been initiated to death. We need the leadership here in this office and in the legislature to do the work of the people. For those like him who want to have a say constantly, come on down and run for election. Otherwise, leave it to us. And if people don't like what I do, they'll vote me out of office. That's the way we should be doing business in Washington State. I don't want to do it like California.
If she actually believes what she just said, she should be removed from the governor's mansion on grounds of mental incompetence. You've got to be kidding me. The people in California want to blame their problems on the initiative process? They can blame them on Santa Claus. I don't give a frick. The bottom line is, when you run out of money, you have to stop spending it. And that's what Greg Ward doesn't get. I mean, they've already chased Boeing out of the state. Microsoft is going next, along with half the small businesses in the state. Tim, how do you stop these people from being idiots?
Well, I mean, it honestly boils down to, you know, was the person who said that the emperor has no clothes very popular with the emperor? I mean, not really. I mean, all we were doing when we were promoting Initiative 960 that year is that Gregoire is currently promising not to raise taxes if she gets reelected. We don't believe her because the last time she made that promise, she broke it. So therefore, in the event that she's lying, let's pass Initiative 960 to serve as an insurance policy that if she breaks her promise and starts raising taxes, our initiative is going to be there to stop her from doing it. Now all of a sudden she's saying, well, wait a minute, this initiative is holding me to my promise. I don't want that. I want the flexibility to be able to change my mind or break my promise if I want to. the voters are clearly in favor of a policy that says it should be tougher to raise taxes, it should be a last resort, not a first resort, and the polling was just like through the roof saying that they did the wrong thing by getting rid of that two-thirds vote requirement for tax increases, and she's just extremely upset that a whole lot of voters are seeing just this naked, raw, you know, power play that they've done, knowing that they're doing not what the voters want them to do, but somebody, you know, a bunch of people basically saying, well, wait a minute, you said you weren't going to raise taxes, you did it anyway, and here you are breaking your promise again, and now you're mad at us for calling you on it?
Well, Tim, just as a future requirement for this program, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't mix metaphors with Gregoire, like naked and emperor has no clothes, because quite frankly, I need to bleach my brain now.
Scary imagery, that's true. Well, I mean, there was another funny, when we did Initiative 695, the head of the Democratic Party now, Dwight Peltz, saying, it's getting to the point where the people are getting in the way of the government being able to function. I mean,
and that's really what this boils down to, isn't it?
If those darn people can just get out of the way, we can get all sorts of things done. And I'm like, you know, that'd be great, you know. Works well in China, works well in Cuba. You know, that's a great system where the people just never get in the way.
Right. And, you know, this is now we need to look at this on a nationwide basis. We're not alone. But, you know, look at California. Everybody wants to take California as the worst example out of the bunch. My understanding is that Washington State is actually in worse straits than California in many ways.
Absolutely. Per capita.
And, you know,
per capita, absolutely.
After us, there's, I mean, how many others? How do we do it, Tim? How do we finally get a hold of this? How do we get in the way enough? I mean, what does it take? Does it take a full-on tax revolt? Does it take mass demonstrations? They just don't seem to listen, and there aren't enough Tim Imans to get the job done.
Well, I mean, with the initiative process, I mean, it's obviously not one person. It's thousands of people willing to get out there and collect signatures. And our view is it is a constant tug of war. And we're never, ever going to have the other side stop pulling the rope in their direction. And so there has to be this ever-vigilant effort to be give the voters the chance to be on the other end of the rope, pulling the rope in favor of more accountability, more transparencies, more limits on taxes. And we can't ever believe that it's ever going to be over, because the other side is always going to be in favor of bigger government and more power and less transparency and less accountability. And so you have to have that mindset. A lot of our supporters have said, well, wait a minute, we voted three times for a two-thirds requirement for tax increases. It's not fair that we have to do it a fourth time. And I don't disagree. That is not fair. But if these guys were actually listening to us, these initiatives wouldn't be necessary in the first place. We have to have this counterweight to their ever-present desire to take more of our money, and we just have to accept that, you know, life's not fair. They don't play by the rules. We need to just simply, you know, persevere and continue to be able to fight back, because they're never going to stop fighting, so we can't ever let our guard down even for a second.
You know, I totally agree, and I think that that's something that people do need to get in their heads. I mean, this whole idea of the Tea Party movement, this is not going to be one of these things where people get involved and we fix it. And it's done.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is a change forever. We have to be involved. We have to be involved forever. We have to teach our children to be involved. We have to have their children involved. You know, we have to be forever vigilant. We've got to turn off Dancing with the Stars and actually start paying attention to the news.
Well, and the last thing you got to do is to make sure that you do not take Gregoire's view of activism as you're only allowed to be active if you're an elected official. If you're a citizen, you need to sit down, shut up, put some duct tape on your mouth, and just do whatever we tell you you need to do. Citizens absolutely need to get involved, and I don't mean just getting out there and running for office. I'm talking about real activism. Go out, collect signatures for these initiatives, help us get these measures qualified for the ballot, work for candidates to get them elected. But at the end of the day, you can't take this view that Gregoire does, is that you don't have a legitimate opportunity to be able to participate in the process unless you're an elected official. You have even a stronger obligation to get involved if you're a regular citizen, because gosh darn it, without you, the other side's just going to run right over you.
Well, Tim, we're going to put those YouTube clips up for the movie that we played the promo for. And if people want to find you on the web and read about your current initiative and your past initiatives, where do they go?
For sure, yeah. Our website is voterswantmorechoices.com. It's not just a website, it's a way of life. And that's what it's all about, just giving the voters an extra opportunity to be able to have a little bit more of a voice in the process. And so that's what we always work for every single year. And we've, you know, I think made a positive impact. And we don't always, you know, hit the ball out of the park, but at least we're up there swinging the bat. And I think that counts for something.
Well, Tim, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. And I hope that this is actually the beginning of an extended conversation. I think you've got a lot to say, not only statewide, but nationally as well. And I know that in the clip that we played, it said some people hate you and some people love you. I got to say, I appreciate everything you're doing out there for us.
Well, that's nice to hear. That's nice to hear. I probably get more gas in my tank for the people who hate what we're doing, because I figure if we're under their skin, we must be doing something
right. All right. Thank you, Tim.
Hey, well, you have a great day. Thank you very much, Jeff.
That's Washington State's very own initiative king, Tim Eyman. Never met a tax that he didn't want to kill, and we thank him for it. Coming up next, something unusual. We figure that Oath Keepers have been thrown under the bus enough times on the O'Reilly factor that maybe we need to give them our version of equal time. So we're going to hold them for two segments. Let's find out what this is all about. Who are the Oath Keepers? What do they believe? What's this oath all about? Coming up next, right here on Paradigm Shift. Details, background information, and much, much more for every interview you hear on Paradigm Shift, we do have show notes. Check it out, commonsensejeff.com/podcast. It's all right there. Also, if you listen on iTunes, we also appreciate positive feedback. You can do that on the iTunes store. Okay, so every member of the United States military takes an oath, and that oath is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's not news. Everybody knows this. What is fairly new is that there's a group called Oath Keepers, and their primary mission is to remind people they took that oath, and their oath isn't to a president or to a politician, but to that Constitution. And to some people, that's scary talk. I'm not sure why, but let's find out. Joining me now is Elias Alias. He is a member of the National Board of Directors with Oath Keepers. He is the Montana State Chapter President, and he is editor of the Oath Keeper newspaper. Mr. Alias, thanks for joining us here on Paradigm Shift.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
First off, let's talk about Oath Keepers. Let's find out what you guys are all about and why you even exist. What's the point, in a nutshell?
We exist primarily as a hedge against any oncoming tyranny that may emanate from a federal government. We are here to honor and obey the U.S. Constitution, which we think is the highest uncontested law of the land.
Well, I think that when it comes to thinking about tyranny and, for example, United States soldiers in impinging on the rights of its citizens, one of the first things that comes to mind is Katrina. And here's a sound clip from, I believe it was a CBS News broadcast. And who knows, maybe Oath Keeper sprang directly from this event.
Chris Montgomery says he'd rather be in Iraq than patrolling American neighborhoods.
Walking up and down these streets, you don't want to think about the stuff that you're going to have to do. Somebody pops around the corner
and you shoot an American.
Yeah.
So they were there to confiscate weapons from law-abiding citizens. They were concerned about actually having to shoot Americans. And somehow, when Oath Keepers say that, you know, we're going to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, we're not going to participate in illegal gun confiscation, somehow that makes you guys the radicals. And I would really love to understand why that is.
Well, you know, you have authority in any field. If you're in a medical field, you'll notice that some doctors rise to the top. They become experts. They write textbooks for universities. They instruct or teach interns or students, and they are called an authority. When you have this in government, the authority, when that authority shifts into something which I would call authoritarian, then you have a divergence from the pure meaning of what an authority is. With every government in history has shown or revealed an authoritarian streak at times. It is always possible. Our founders, the people that created this nation, knew this, and they made a lot of provisions in our founding documents to help the people prevent authoritarianism from creeping into our government. The reason was our founders valued freedom and personal freedom. So the government has lately, as was exampled just by the troops that you just recorded and played there, we actually had troops on the ground, armed troops, and going door to door, taking people's guns, homeowners who needed their guns to protect their homes and their property at a time when the police situation had deteriorated and they needed a way to protect themselves. Well, here comes the government and said, we're going to take everybody's guns. And the guns they couldn't collect, of course, were the guns of the criminal types. So this would leave the American homeowner defenseless. The government did it out of an illogical reaction to a natural disaster or an emergency. And that actually was unconstitutional, and it did happen. And that shows that it can happen. So you got a precedent there, Jeff. And we want to delineate for everyone, especially our troops and our peace officers, that at a point, authority becomes authoritarian, and it is up to the individual citizen, to the soldier, to the cop, to the fire worker, to everybody, to disregard unlawful or unconstitutional orders that would actually damage our relationship with our Constitution.
Now, as a thinker, and I like to think about things, and some people don't, of course, but you know, I like to play out scenarios in my mind, and that's one of the things in life that has made me successful. You know, what if A happens? What if B happens? And really, one of the things that Oath Keepers does is it puts people that are in authority in a situation where they have to think, you know, what if this happened? What do I do? And at that point, you have a law enforcement officer that is not making a decision based on the spur of the moment, on an adrenaline rush. They have actually had a chance to think this through, and they're making an informed decision at that point. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. And Stuart Rhodes, our founder, has often alluded to this. The situation of let's talk about what happened in Katrina so we won't have to be surprised by a similar situation in the future. He said, we get a lot of comments from active duty military who say they were caught by surprise when ordered onto the streets of an American city to confiscate weapons. By thinking ahead of time, now that we have this as a precedent, we can not be surprised the next time some government official decides this is what we must do in violation of the Constitution because, oh my goodness, we have an emergency.
Well, of course, gun confiscation is not the only issue that you deal with. Tell me a little bit about the oath that Oath Keepers take. What specifically are they taking an oath to when they join your organization?
We have a slightly modified approach to this for our general purposes. Of course, everyone takes the legally prescribed oath when you join the service. But what we are including anyone who loves, respects, and honors that Constitution, any civilian can take our oath. And we're basically saying that we are a nonpartisan association of currently serving military, of reserves, of National Guard. We are also veterans, and we're peace officers and firefighters who will fulfill that oath with the support of like-minded citizens who also take an oath to stand with us to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, so help us God. Now, that's not the exact oath that the military takes, but that includes all the vital parts of it and includes the civilian participation in our program.
And is there, there's a bulleted list of items that you will not do. What are those things?
The first thing that we do, we have 10 orders that we project to be unconstitutional orders. And the first one of those being that we will not obey orders to disarm the American people. We think that disarming the American people is a direct violation of the Second Amendment in the Constitution. And we do know now that those orders can happen. Katrina was the precedent. And in fact, there have been others, but Katrina is one that everyone knows, and it's recent in our history. We also have orders that we will not obey, which include conducting warrantless searches of the American people. There goes your Fourth Amendment when you do that. We want a probable cause, correctly issued warrant, before peace officers would obey an order to search the American people. Order number three, which we hold to be unconstitutional, is we will not obey orders to detain American citizens as unlawful enemy combatants or subject them to military tribunal. After, I guess it was 1995 and the Oklahoma City bombing, Clinton's administration had a couple of bright lawyers who wrote some legal paperwork trying to get it officially inducted into federal policy to bring citizens into military tribunals instead of a court of law in civilian jurisdiction. That did not fly under the Clinton administration, but it was proposed, and we have some documents on that. You simply cannot turn an American citizen who has committed a crime into an enemy combatant without violating the Constitution itself. So we have other orders. We have 10 of them. We will not, for example, obey orders to impose martial law or a state of emergency on any state. We will not obey orders to invade and subjugate any state that asserts its sovereignty. And as you know, right now, a lot of states are passing sovereignty resolutions. The reason they're passing those resolutions is it is no longer a secret that our federal government is becoming authoritarian in its nature. Instead of serving we the people, it is now directing we the people. Where it used to lead us, it is now pushing us. You know, we have these conditions that all alert, awake, and aware people have noticed and are now talking about. We will not obey any order to blockade American cities, thus turning them into giant concentration camps, which also was a precedent set at New Orleans, where people were locked up and not allowed to leave until the government said they could be free again. We will not obey any order to force American cities in any form of detention camps under any pretext. And people accuse us constantly of manufacturing paranoia, but we do have on the record a FEMA issued $387 million contract to build civilian work camp centers on existing U.S. military bases here in this country. FEMA says they have a reason to do that as preparation for more emergencies or emergency conditions, but it has happened. The awarded contract is real, and it's open-ended, whereas they can build more camps if they need to. Another order, Jeff, we will not obey orders to assist or support the use of any foreign troops on U.S. soil against the American people to keep the peace or to maintain control. And I think you know why that would be there, because we have already been seeing foreign troops training on American soil. We know that there have been federal treaties with other countries for troop exchanges. And you can find out by digging deep at the government website called spp.gov. SPGOV, that's your Security and Prosperity Partnership, which is the your basic infrastructure for the North American Union. That's on a government website. You can read about it. And you can find out that we have, through NORTHCOM, which is headquartered in Colorado, we have troops from Canada and Mexico already cleared for participation on U.S. soil in the event some government official cries emergency. Well, we don't want foreign troops patrolling American streets. In fact, due to the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act, we don't even want American troops patrolling American streets. That's for states, your National Guard, your State Guard units, and for the peace officer associations and organizations throughout each state. But as George Washington knew, you get in a lot of trouble when you have a standing army military presence in your civilian sector. And our founders did not want to see that, and neither does Oathkeepers.
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting to me, I mean, you can look at some of the things that you guys are potentially preparing for, and you can say, that to me seems a little fringe. And that's fine. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody has a right to believe whatever they want to believe or don't believe. But the bottom line is you guys are not taking any actions whatsoever. You're just simply saying, if this possibly happens, then this will be our reaction. And it's not even a reaction, it's a non-reaction. But, you know, let's think about a state of emergency as well. What is a state of emergency? State of emergency is suspension of the Constitution by local or federal government. And there are even people that believe right now that our country operates under an existing state of emergency because previous states of emergencies have never been rescinded. It's amazing to me how little excuse it takes for our government to declare a state of emergency.
Yeah, you're right. There are, and Congressman Ron Paul has brought this up publicly, there are six or more unresolved previous declarations of states of emergency that a president so motivated could call to action at his whim and impose martial law, or military rule, but the legal framework for that can exist if one interprets these still existing states of emergency as authorizing a president or a high government official to actually take this kind of action. So, yeah, this goes all the way back to 1917 and Woodrow Wilson's administration. His War Powers Act, and then it was that act was again amended in the first week of FDR's tenure in the White House to even more extremes. We're a little bit concerned because you have a global interface in economics, and the global interface in economics lends itself to a global governing situation. Our Constitution is our source of sovereignty as a nation. We want to stay away from associations with international bodies that would propose, such as does the United Nations, a higher source of authority than our Constitution. We call it being good old-fashioned Americans. We want America to remain America and not be another state in a conglomerate, 185 nation states on the roster at the United Nations.
I think a lot of people look at this situation and say, well, that could not happen here. Well, you know, look at Greece right now. And all it takes to go from an organized society to a disrupted society is introducing the concepts of fear and hunger. And with our situation right now, the economic precipice that we find ourselves on, it's not beyond the stretch of imagination to see bad things potentially happening in our future if we can't shore our financial house up. All right, so I think we've got a great foundation to find out why Oath Keepers exists. When we come back, more with Elias Alias of Oath Keepers. Let's find out why they've been in the news so much lately, especially on the O'Reilly factor, where they're going from here, and why Oath Keepers is so important to the future of our nation. You are listening to Paradigm Shift.
Beyond the boundaries of your city's life, heroes waiting for your cries. So many times you did not bring this on yourself. When that moment finally comes, I'll be there to help. Don't let day
Welcome back to Paradigm Shift. I am your host, Jeff Williams. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, as this program grows, we really, really depend on the goodwill of our listeners to help spread the word. We're not on any broadcast affiliate at this time. I don't know if we ever will be. But you know what? If you hear this program, if you really enjoy this program, please spread the link around. If you're on Facebook, you know, post the link there, send it out to your propaganda list, do whatever you have to do. But if you enjoy this program, we really do appreciate it if you would pass it on. Right now, we are continuing our interview with Elias Alias. He is a member of the National Board of Directors for Oath Keepers. He is the Montana State Chairman, and he is the editor of the Oath Keeper newspaper. Elias, let's look at what got you guys into the news recently. You've been around for a while. Oath Keepers is nothing new. However, there is a gentleman by the name of Mark Potok. He was on the Bill O'Reilly show, O'Reilly Factor, on Fox News. And this is what Mark Potok had to say about Oath Keepers.
Is there one group in America right now that you guys believe is dangerous, is growing fast, and that the folks should know about?
Well, let me give an example. I'm not going to say this group is dangerous and, you know, these people are going to blow up federal buildings. That's clearly not true.
Okay, let's stop the interview right there. I want to interrupt this to give my two cents on this. Now, these are not the words of Oath Keepers. These are my words, but I want to get this out there. First off, the SPLC, they are nothing but propagandists. I've been watching them for a while. They are nothing but a bunch of propagandists for the modern progressive movement, period. And the guy that's talking, Mark Potok, is nothing but an Alinsky shill. I think that you could say the flavor of the month is Rocky Road at Baskin and Robbins, and this guy could figure out some way to call it radicalism or racism. Now, we have show notes on our website, commonsensejeff.com, and we have the video of these clips, and I want all of our listeners to go out there and see the video for these clips and recognize this guy and recognize his lies before they even leave his mouth. Furthermore, any host that is willing to put this SOB on the air with any modicum of credibility should lose their own. Turn the channel permanently. But let's look at the tactic here. Potok calls out the Oath Keepers by name, and he uses a very interesting technique. Now, remember the question is there one group in America that is dangerous and should be exposed? And he says, not only are Oath Keepers not dangerous, but they would never do X, Y, or Z. And why does he do that? He knows that we are passive listeners. And subliminally, with a huge portion of the audience, he just made Oath Keepers a radical, dangerous group that could potentially turn to violence. So recognize these techniques, but let's go on and listen to what he thinks Oath Keepers would never do.
Well, I'm not going to say this group is dangerous and, you know, these people are going to blow up federal buildings. That's clearly not true. But there is a new major group called the Oath Keepers. It was started, if I recall, in February of last year. It has grown fairly explosively. It's well over 1,000 members. What's interesting about the group is it's composed mainly of military and law enforcement personnel, officers of the law. The thing about the group is what they say is, you know, what we're all about is simply pledging allegiance or re-pledging our oaths to defend the Constitution, which of course is well and fine. But the reality about the group is that what it's really about is the fear that martial law is about to be imposed, that Americans are about to be herded into concentration camps, that foreign troops are going to be put down on American soil. The Oath Keeper says specifically, we will not obey these orders. We refuse orders to put Americans into concentration camps. Now, is that dangerous? It seems to me the danger is that these are men and women, in the case of police officers, who are given a real power over the rest of us, sometimes the power of life and death. They make very important decisions. And if these men and women are animated by the idea that, you know, foreign forces are about to come into this country and put us under martial law and throw us all into concentration camp, I think there is a certain danger associated
all
with
right.
that.
Well, it's certainly
They're
not
operating
rational.
On the basis of crazy theories that may cause one of them to drop.
Okay, this schmuck's never going to come on my program, but let's just dissect that argument quickly. Elias, if you had a situation come up where there were law enforcement officers who were in the process of detaining American citizens, rounding up American citizens and putting them into concentration camps, or illegally confiscating weapons, or going house to house searching homes in violation of Fourth Amendment rights, would you feel more comfortable knowing your law enforcement officer had taken the Oath Keepers pledge?
Well, certainly I would, because you have to obey and honor the highest uncontested law of the land.
I mean, I don't see a problem here. What is the problem? Basically, Oath Keepers are saying, do your job.
Yes, we are also saying, stand down under unlawful orders. And when you trace this situation back to legal roots, you'll see that it is unconstitutional to do these kind of things to people in America. So we are not asking our troops to use their weapons. We are asking them to put their weapons down and refuse that kind of order.
I think that's a really super important distinction as well. He says, well, you know, if you believe this, then they could use a gun on somebody to do something really bad. No, that's not how I read your oath at all. It's walk away. Just
yes.
Walk away.
It's like just say no, you know.
Well, the following day, your founder of Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, went on the O'Reilly Factor again and was promptly thrown under the bus again by Bill O'Reilly. Here's a clip from that program.
Local authorities in New Orleans could not control what was going on in the city, and you had looters who were armed going in and stealing things, and this directive was...
It wasn't just looters they were disarming. They disarmed average American people, just average American
No, they had disarmed everybody. They basically said, there's not going to be any guns in the city, and we're going to take them all because we're in a state of emergency. But that's after a hurricane wipes out the city, so I'm not sure. But let me ask you this.
Where's that in the Constitution that says that bad weather suspends the Constitution?
It's not a matter of bad weather. It's a matter of can't control the city. If a mayor of a city or a governor of a state has a state of emergency, all right, and you hear that all the time, we put a state of emergency here, and we have a city that's out of control like we had in the 60s, and you remember some of those riots, I'm sure, and they say, you know, we're going to pour as a curfew. You can't go out after 11 o'clock. You can't have a gun out in public. You can't do this. You can't assemble. And, you know, because we have a out of control situation, you're telling me that you're going to tell your people not to obey those laws?
I would say that disarming an average law-abiding citizen blanket like that.
No state of emergency. Now, I'm just talking state of emergency.
Okay, so you say call it state of emergency. Call it what you want. It's still unconstitutional.
That's a pretty extreme position. All right.
I think that's a great, what Stuart said, that's a great point. Call it whatever you want. Call it a state of banana cream pie. You're not going to come in and get my guns. And like I've said before on this program, you want to come confiscate my guns? You're more than welcome to. And I'll hand them over to you. Bullets first. We're running out of time. Give me your final word. What's the future for Oath Keepers, and why do you think that its continued growth is so important for our nation?
Well, we hate to upset Mr. Potok, but we now have more than 18,000 members nationwide, chapters established in every state. And what is important about Oath Keepers is it raises awareness. We are a reach, teach, and inspire organization that is generating public discourse. And that public discourse is very important. When you look again to Katrina, the worst possible thing that could happen to a decent, law-abiding, homeowning citizen is during a time of riots and rampant lawlessness for the government itself to come in and take his means of self-defense from him using a concocted excuse called state of emergency. And emergencies is when we need our guns.
I agree completely. Absolutely. And you know what? It's not, you know, you get this mental picture of cops coming house to house and taking, you know, an AK or an AR-15 from a guy my age, you know, a strong dude that can defend himself. The video that always comes to my mind is the little old gray-haired lady who's probably in her 70s who's got her shotgun being shoved to the floor by, you know, a member of law enforcement. Now she's completely defenseless. That's what comes to my mind.
Right, and they even hauled her away and took her away because she wanted to keep a gun to defend herself. A little gray-haired grand lady tackled to the floor by a law officer who was not thinking clearly and did agree to obey unlawful orders. Jeff, it's very important in today's political climate that we understand the principles of liberty and freedom, that we understand the proper relationship between a citizen and his government. The Constitution needs to be discussed more openly, candidly, and readily across our land by all generations of Americans. It is our source of individual liberty, and it's the source of our way way of life, the principles and values that made America a truly great and marvelous nation.
Elias, what's your website?
Oathkeepers.org. Oathkeepers.org. We invite everyone to come and look at our website, read the testimonials of our law enforcement and military personnel and firefighters who come in there and leave very heart-wrenching testimonials about their dedication to the highest law of the land and their willingness to serve the best interest of the American people, no matter what any government official might say. As we would like for people to burn into their minds this brand, our oath is to the Constitution and not to the politicians. We are here as a hedge against tyranny. And as long as there's no tyranny, Oath Keepers has nothing to do. If there were not signs of an impending tyranny, Stuart Rhodes would have never seen reasons to form this operation. Jeff, I got to thank you so much for getting the word out for us and helping people learn our side of the story, and appreciate it very much. I hope your listeners will all go to the website. It's oathkeepers.org.
And I really do encourage them to do that. And you know what? I've known a lot of different people from a lot of different organizations over my 40 years, and I have yet to meet a group of men who were more like-minded, who were more patriotic, who, and I'm even thinking of the word right now, I mean, your group just exudes...
Well, let's say we have a passionate embrace for the Republic called the United States of America, its history, its potential, and its future freedoms for coming generations of free-born Americans. We are patriots. Part of what Potok hates to see out here is called the patriot movement. There's nothing embarrassing to me. I, as an honorably discharged Marine and veteran of the Vietnam War, nothing embarrassing to me about being a patriot. I was a patriot when I joined the Marine Corps. Our founders were patriots when they created this country. The fact that our country is in turmoil right now and political confusion is because a lot of Americans are not being patriot. But our duty is to that Constitution. Our oath never expires, and we are loyal. We stand for the Constitution.
Elias, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we wish you all nothing but the best.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Incidentally, the word that I was trying to think of before was honorable. Absolutely a step above the rest. It's Oath Keepers. You can find them online at oathkeepers.org. And just like that, we are not only out of time, but over time. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Jeff Williams. On our next episode, we've got a couple interesting questions to ask. Number one, Department of Education, why are you buying tactical gear and shotguns? How does that work with educating the nation's children? I'd really like to know. Beyond that, our supposed constitutional scholar and president, Barack Obama, is now advocating the collection of DNA, not of convicted criminals, not of people that are accused of a crime, but people that are simply arrested for a crime. I thought that we were innocent until proven guilty, and I also thought there was this little thing called the Fourth Amendment that denies the government unreasonable search and seizure of citizens. So let's find out. Plus, if they do collect that data at some point in the future, where does it go? I think this is going to be a perfect introduction to something that you may not be aware of called fusion centers. They are real. They are here. They are now. They are a gross violation of your constitutional rights. All this and more. In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its maximum hour of danger. This is that hour. You are that generation. Now is that moment. My name is Jeff Williams, and this has been a Paradigm Shift.